Just a heads up, the Razzball Football Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's a Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour. We'll make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Football Podcast. I am your host, Nick Capozzi, but you know what? We might just have to hijack this football podcast and talk nothing but baseball after the mega trade the Blue Jays and Marlins just pulled off, one of the biggest trades in baseball history. All right, we'll get back to football, but you got to bring that up. Everything's going nuts. This is breaking as we're doing the podcast. So I am joined, as always, by my football co-host and maybe future baseball fill-in co-host, Mr. JB Gilpin. JB, how are you?
I'm good. I love baseball. I'd love to be your utility man. You know, the shortstop goes out. I'll play. I'll plug in the infield. I'll pinch hit.
Listen, right now you could be the utility guy for the Marlins.
Yeah, that's true. I'm pretty sure anyone could play for the Marlins right now. They'll pay you a league minimum, and that's going to be the Marlins' way yet again.
All right, let's get back to football so we don't get some angry emails. You can always follow us on Twitter. I am at Nick Capozzi, N-I-C-K-C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I. He is at J-B Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N. If you found us on iTunes, of course, this is Razzball.com's Fantasy Football Podcast. JB, let's get right into it because this is a really important week in fantasy because in most leagues, the trade deadline is fast approaching. In fact, I tend to play in a few Yahoo leagues, and their deadline is this Friday. So let me start with the first question, JB. What, while I check Twitter and see what else is happening with this baseball trade. Just kidding. Do you have a trade deadline philosophy in general? Like, do you have any hard and fast rules that you use when it comes to your fantasy sports trade deadlines?
You know, I really don't. My trading philosophy is always do it sooner rather than later. Almost all of my trades happen in the first few weeks because I think that's where you can really hit on some good value. Obviously, there's good value to get towards the end of the year. People, people aren't thinking about that could have big second halves. You know, someone like Greg Jennings that might have two or three big games in the playoffs. You know, guys like that. But most of my trades happen earlier in the year because now with players the way they are, most players' values are pretty set. My teams, I usually feel like I'm pretty good with. I feel like I'm pretty set with them. If there was a need I saw earlier in the year, I probably would have addressed it already. So if there's someone you need, I wouldn't try to my biggest philosophy, I guess, to answer in a roundabout way is always look at your standings. You don't want to trade someone a position they need that could hurt you in the playoffs.
See, I'm less concerned with that. I have no problem. I don't look at who I might play in the playoffs. If I have a guy on my bench and I have a hole somewhere else, I'm going to go and plug it. So in one of the keeper leagues I'm in, you can keep three players. I had Cam Newton. I traded Cam Newton and Jonathan Stewart to get Chicago defense and Vernon Davis. I obviously overpaid, but those are the two holes I had were on defense and tight end, and I had another backup quarterback. So I was pretty confident with that lineup. So I have no problem. I don't know that Newton would necessarily hurt me this year in the playoffs, but I don't even factor that in. If I can plug my own holes, that's
well,
my concern.
Well, I wouldn't factor Newton in hurting you in any format right now with how bad he's doing. I will say that now is a really good time to look for keeper trades. Most keeper leagues don't have trade deadlines, but if yours for some reason does and you're towards the bottom of the standings, now's a good time to look for a high upside guy. Like last last year I traded Larry Fitzgerald and I can't remember the second person, but it was someone pretty good just for AJ Green. And at the time, it was a really unfair trade for last year. And this year, it's looking like money. So
absolutely, no doubt. All right, let's talk about some guys who had some big weekends last week. One was definitely Calvin Johnson. Looks like he's back. I'm less concerned with what you think about Calvin going forward because I think that's a pretty easy answer. I'm curious, the other emerging skill players on the Lions, let's say Titus Young, Ryan Broyles, LeShore, Bell, if the Matthew Stafford to Calvin Johnson game gets going, who do you think benefits most?
I think it's got to be Titus Young right now. I think he's a pretty good receiver. Obviously not a huge game last week, but did get a touchdown. I like what he can bring as kind of your wide receiver three. You probably don't want to start him if you don't have to, but I think he'll work. 2 weeks ago, I think he had kind of a slow game just because they were playing the Jaguars. They didn't need to throw it to anyone else besides Calvin Johnson, and then LeShore got the three touchdowns. I think it will open things up for LeShore when they're in bigger games, where they're not going to be behind. But this week they're playing the Packers. I'm scared with LeShore. I think Bell's going to be out there more.
Yeah, I could see that happening too.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that later.
All right, how about Danny Amendola? Is he the new Wes Welker? And I know there's often comps to him being a poor man's Wes Welker, but he has just been dominant catching the ball this year, especially in that tie with San Francisco. He was all over the place and just barely missed that big catch towards the end of the game. How good is Danny Amendola?
He's good, and I think if he were on the Patriots, he would be the new Wes Welker, but he has Sam Bradford throwing him the ball, and he's obviously very, very injury prone. Now, I know Wes Welker tore his ACL, but that was the one injury. He's been out there. I don't think he's had any other major injuries that I can remember in his career. We've seen Amendola get all sorts of things. So he's good. You know, ride him while he's hot, but I wouldn't call him the new Wes Welker at all yet.
It's interesting. So the difference, though, is that Amendola has only been in the league. Well, mind you, he's an 85 birthday, so he's not. He's actually older than I thought he was. Okay, so that's fair. He has had some injuries throughout his career. I'm just looking it up quick. Yeah, okay. All right, well.
Yeah, and I could see, I mean, obviously it's hard to scheme against a guy that's running 4-yard routes every play. But right. There's, you know, with him being back there, there's going to be more and more film out on him. This is the only year where he's been getting consistently 10-plus targets every game. They're going to start seeing more and more film and really start limiting that. All right, opposing defenses, yeah.
All right, we had some quarterbacks go down this week. I'm less concerned with, obviously I want them to have good health, but I'm less concerned with them because hopefully you weren't starting Alex Smith, and if Michael Vick was your starting quarterback going into this year, you're either out of the playoff contention or you've made a deal. But what's going to happen with Alex Smith out if he's out for a prolonged period of time to the San Francisco skill players, and I use the term loosely, obviously, but let's talk about Crabtree and Vernon Davis in particular.
I think it boosts Vernon Davis a little bit. He's obviously the most athletic and probably the easiest target to throw to in terms of, you know, being a physical beast, a taller guy. I know Crabtree's tall as well, but it's always easier for a younger guy to come and throw to your tight end, the big target. I think I like him a little bit more, although he has been terrible as of late. So, I mean, if you're starting Davis or Crabtree anymore, you're just hoping for a touchdown, and I think the same will hold true with Kaepernick if he's starting for a while.
All right, what about Philadelphia? Are you concerned with their skill players? Because I think I may have been more concerned when Michael Vick was throwing the ball. I'm curious to see what Nick Foles does with the Eagles this week.
You know, it's funny you say that. I completely agree. Foles, you know, while he didn't set the world on fire, he looked competent and was, you know, his throwing was sharp. His passes looked crisp. I think he's going to be a pretty good quarterback. We'll talk more about him later, but I like his connection with Macklin. I think I'm boosting Macklin and dropping DeSean Jackson a little bit because Vic seemed to like DeSean Jackson as a receiver more. They had a little bit more rapport going on.
All right, let's talk about the Steelers' backfield going forward. Redman had that fumble, didn't see any more playing time Monday. Dwyer hasn't been great. Mendenhall hopefully is going to be back next week. That might be a guy to go out and target this week if you're low on running backs.
Yeah, I agree. The thing with Mendenhall is if you're a team in contention right now, Do you really think that Mendenhall would become one of your starters? I mean, maybe 1 or 2 weeks where the matchup's there, but you're not going to feel great about it unless both Redmond and Dwyer are out yet again. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've never been a huge Mendenhall fan, but at the same time, you know, I would roll the dice with Mendenhall rest of the season, I think.
Yeah, see, I think I agree that there's a lot of upside there and you might be able to get him cheap. It's just I don't really know how much he's going to factor into your team. You know, most bye weeks are done now. If you're starting him at your flex, you're probably not an elite team in your league right now as it is.
I'm in a bunch of 12-team leagues and, you know, a lot of teams could use a Mendenhall.
Well, that's because you drafted Peyton Hillis and David Wilson in all those leagues, right?
All right. I'm not talking about me specifically. Let's even talk about that. All right, let's
just
get into
mess with you. Hey, I've got a rant about something.
I'm
in four leagues. Guess how many leagues I played against Tony Gonzalez this week?
4.
15. There were clones of them. I saw Tony Gonzalez at QB. He was at a flex. One of them had him in as a kicker. There were 5 of them on. It was 3 out of the 4 leagues. It was very, very, very frustrating because he more than doubled his previous 3 weeks combined. That was the most frustrating thing of this entire season was that I had to go up against Tony Gonzalez in 3 leagues this week. It was just terrible.
How you doing overall in your leagues this year?
I think I am 5-5 in 3 of them.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
Not great. I started in my Razzball Commenter League. I had a nice – I was either 4-0 or 5-0 and then lost 5 in a row. Yep.
Wow. You know, it's funny. I'm having a brilliant season except in the Razzball Writers League.
Yeah. I've had an up-and-down season. I lost this week because I played the aforementioned tight end devil.
Well, I don't know that I'd be calling Tony Gonzalez the devil. More of a...
Yeah, that's true. He's a great player. I mean, no disrespect to him, but just frustrating. The plight of the frustrating fantasy matchup.
Absolutely. All right, let's start hitting some of these up and downs out of the park. Let's start with the Thursday game. It is the Miami Buffalo. Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills, the Thursday night game. Buffalo always a party. If you're looking for somewhere to go Thursday night, head to Buffalo. It's always a good time for a nationally televised game. Who are you up on in this game?
I gotta love me some Harvard. I love Ryan Fitzpatrick here. The Miami Dolphins pasty has been terrible lately. I think he rocks the Dolphins worse than a tuna fishing boat.
You worked on that one for a while, eh?
Not really. I just can't. It was either that joke or an Ace Ventura joke, but I feel like those have probably been done too much.
All right, I could see Fitzpatrick having a good game. Who are you down on?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Reggie Bush. Just where is he gone? The fumble got
they
benched
wore
in the first
him
half.
Out.
I thought you were gonna. I thought you meant that he was going to get so many touches in the second half. I guess he's already worn out now. But
yeah, exactly.
Talk about a guy with a tale of being good in only a half a season. Only good in the second half last year. Only good in the first half this year.
Yeah, no, I am done with. I haven't liked Reggie Bush since his first couple of years in New Orleans when I had him in like every league.
Yeah, I actually drafted him last year, and I think I wrote a sleeper piece on him, and it looked like a horrible call. And then I of course dropped him in a couple leagues, and then he just went off in that second half. I think he's got to be one of the most frustrating fantasy assets.
All right, let's head to the Sunday games. Let's kick off the 1 o'clocks with the Jacksonville Jaguars at Houston Texans. Tell me who you like.
I like Cecil Shorts. He's been kind of a big deal the past 4 weeks. Jacksonville is obviously going to be down in this game. I think there's going to be a lot of junk time throwing. I could see him getting another one of those, you know, 4 catch for 80 yards, maybe a touchdown type games.
You know, I actually like Cecil Shorts a lot going forward, but I'll tell you this, the only points the offense is going to see change when they're on the field is the pick sixes that Houston is going to score against them. Blaine Gabbert is going to get crushed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree, but when it's 40-0 at halftime, they're going to have to throw it to someone in junk time.
Yeah, exactly, except I think his line's going to be like 6 for 18 for, you know, 42 yards and 3 interceptions. I see him getting clobbered against Houston. I think especially, too, after Houston beat Chicago this week, wasn't, I don't want to call it a statement game because they didn't destroy them, but I will say that I think Houston coming home, unless they're overlooking the Jaguars, which I don't think they'll do because they're very well coached by Gary Kubiak, I think Houston's going to crush Jacksonville, so I am not up on Cecil Shorts.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree, but there's going to be prevent defenses that Jacksonville's going to be able to get a couple passes on in the second half.
You might be correct. All right, who are you down on?
I really don't like Owen Daniels. I mean, I know he's hurt, but he's questionable. He's been a huge tight end for a lot of teams this year. Even if he's active, I don't like him here. I don't see any reason why. I mean, we just talked about how I'm pretty sure the Texans are going to be up, 21-0 after 5 minutes or something like that, and they're not going to want Owen Daniels out there and risk him getting hurt again. I would not play him this week, even if active.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, moving on, we've got the Philadelphia Eagles going into D.C. to play the Redskins. Tell me who you like.
And we teased this a little bit in the open, but I really like Jeremy Maclin. Him and Foles had a really nice rapport going on. I know the touchdown was kind of a broken play by the Dallas secondary, but he was going to him a lot. I think Macklin's a little bit more of a possession receiver than DeSean Jackson, and that's going to be someone that Foles is going to want to target too. He's definitely a riskier play, but I think I like him in this game a lot.
I'm a huge Jeremy Maclin fan. I have him in a lot of leagues this year, so that's I have succeeded in spite of that. I think Maclin has all kinds of upside. The only thing I worry about is the injuries he goes through, but I think with Foles there, I could see Maclin having a big 5-6 game stretch here.
Yeah, I could too, and this is a great game for that to start at Washington against that Redskins secondary that's had their troubles against deep balls.
Right. Who don't you like in this game?
I don't like Brent Celek. I think he kind of emerged with Vic when Cobb started. I don't remember exactly, but I don't think Cobb and Celek really got off on a perfect foot. Or maybe it was just Vic and Celek at first. And then Vic started going to Celek a lot, and that started getting a really good connection. Celek and Foles didn't really have much of a rapport going on. I just don't see him being a player that you can trust in this game.
All right. Next up, we have the Jets going to St. Louis to play the Rams. Who do you like?
Last week was a big week. I really like Steven Jackson. 29 carries last week, broke 100 yards at San Francisco. Really strong for him to come off the bye week. I think that might have recharged his batteries. I think I like him again this week as well. The Jets' run defense hasn't been as stout as it has been in years past.
Yeah, I've been down on Steven Jackson this season, but he did play well against the Niners, so maybe he can continue to turn that into positive yardage. Who don't you like in this game?
I don't like anything that has green on their jersey in this game. That St. Louis D's pretty good. Tebow?
Yeah, it's going to be hard for them to throw against that secondary for sure, so...
When is Tebow starting?
Well, he'll start next year for the Calgary Stampeders in the CFL. How about that?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, I am not a Tebow believer. You know what Tebow's future is? It's either as a fullback or possibly, a fullback, halfback, hybrid. I could see that. He's not going to be a quarterback in this league, other than for... if the position keeps evolving and they have these guys in for, certain series or certain packages, but Tebow will not be a starting quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he was just successful when he did it. I don't understand why no team would really give him a shot. I would think someone would at some point.
Well, we'll see. All right, next up, we have the Cleveland Browns going to the Dallas Cowboys. Who do you like in this game?
I think we've had him as an up once or twice already this year, but I like Josh Morgan in this one. He had a touchdown call back last week. I think it was on a legal procedure or something.
Josh Morgan plays for the Washington Redskins, my friend.
Oh, I meant Gordon.
Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon. Sorry, I said the wrong name, but I knew who I was talking about. Flash Gordon.
All right.
Sorry about that. But yeah, I mean, I think he's going to get, some junk time plays. Dallas played really strong last week. I think that Dallas could win this game pretty easily as well. I like him to get a couple big catches in this game.
Against that secondary? That's interesting, actually, because I would have actually thought that might be tough because there's no one else.
But it's going to be another one of those games where it's 24-7 with, 7 minutes to go in the fourth. They're going to be in prevent. Throw it to Gordon. I almost said Morgan again. Throw it to Gordon.
Man, you like those prevent defenses, eh?
I always try to think about who's going to get the junk time when I call a sleeper call or something like that. That's why I like Shorts. That's why I like Gordon. I think they're both going to have a lot of easier coverages than other players.
All right, sounds good. Who are you down on in this game?
You know, I actually gave this one some thought, and I'm actually down on no one that's really of fantasy importance for this game. If you're starting Tony Romo still, I think he's going to be decent. I like Dez Bryant, Miles Austin. I told you last week in my up and downs, where I said I incommunicado told you my up and downs that I thought Felix Jones would be fine last week, and he was. He wasn't great, but he was fine. I think he'll be fine again this week.
All right, next up is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at your Carolina Panthers. Who do you like?
I like Mike Williams. You know, week one, he only had 12 yards, but he did have the touchdown against the Panthers. He's blossomed since then. Only two catches for 64 yards. Well, only two catches, but did get 64 yards last week. But Freeman only had 14 completions. I think Carolina's going to play a little stronger than they have lately, and they're going to force Tampa Bay to have to throw the ball a little bit. I like Williams.
Yeah, I do too. I think Mike Williams is one of the most underrated receivers in the NFL.
I've got someone that's more underrated in our next game.
Ooh, I'm curious about that. All right, who are you down on in this Buccaneers-Panthers matchup?
I am down on someone on your team publishing a Super Bowl ad and running it in your newspaper before the season starts.
I know where you're going with that one.
What are you thinking? Like, I mean, if it happens, great, but it's not going to. It's only going to make you look foolish, especially when you're 2-7 or whatever the hell the Panthers are. I don't really care. I watched Red Zone instead of watching that horrific game on Sunday.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, it's awesome. Especially when your team is terrible, you have to have Red Zone.
Yeah, absolutely. Or especially if your team doesn't exist because you live in Canada.
Well, you can watch your Bills.
Oh, come on, man. All right. Next up is the Arizona Cardinals. They are heading east to take on the Falcons in Atlanta. Who do you like in this game?
And here's the most underrated wide receiver in fantasy, Andre Roberts. No response, or did I just flatten?
No, it's not that. I like Andre Roberts. I just don't think he's consistent because that offensive line and the quarterback play is a mess.
I mean, it is, but he's actually put up fairly consistent numbers. He was one of my likes 2 weeks ago in my last second decisions, which comes out on Sunday mornings if you're a Razzball reader.
Which you better be.
Exactly. He's still owned in under 50% of ESPN League, 65% in Yahoo, and yet he's the 20th highest scoring wide receiver.
You know what? That's interesting. Okay, you're making an argument here.
Yeah, every time I see his stats, and I mean, he just came off his bye, and before his bye, he was like 15th or 16th. I mean, obviously, a lot of players had their byes, but he's been really, really good this year.
No, as of right now, we're talking, here's the stats, 40 catches, 540 yards, and 5 touchdowns, so not too bad. And his catches, here you go, for the last few games, 4, 7, 7, 2, 5, 6. So yeah, you know what? Yeah, okay, I'm buying what you're selling.
Yeah. I should be a salesman then.
Well, I don't know about that. All right, who are you down on in this game?
Yeah, you're the professional. I'm down on Michael Turner. I mean, going up against one of the league worst run D's and was just terrible. We've both been talking about how we like Chiquiz Rogers as kind of an unglamorous flex player fill-in. In the last 3 weeks, he's delivered, especially if you're in PPR. I mean, not a huge game any of those weeks, but good enough to get you some points. And Chiquiz Rogers looked so much better. He had one run where he just made this real quick cut and got about a 15-yard gain, and Turner would have had -2, you know? Yep. So I think Chiquiz Rogers works his way to get a couple more touches here. I think because Atlanta should be up in this game towards the end of the game, I think they're going to give Rodgers more looks than they would give Turner.
Yeah, that's fair. Now, just a second ago, you called me a professional. I hope you mean salesperson or not podcaster.
Both. Can it be both?
No. But if you did need some web applications developed, you can always tweet me at Nick Capozzi. Had to throw that in there.
You had such a salesman sleaze to that. That was awesome.
No, come on. Hey, I handle IT solutions, all right? We solve problems, all right? All right, I'm going to leave it at that.
I'm pretty sure IT causes more problems than solves them.
Because you're not using us, right.
Yeah, that's
on.
True.
Let's move on before I have to write Gray a check for all that promo. Next up is the Cincinnati Bengals at Kansas City Chiefs. Who do you like in this game,
Mr. I gotta give a round of applause to the Kansas City coaching staff. You figured out when you give your best player the ball, Jamaal Charles, good things can happen. isn't that shocking? I never would have thought that. I would have thought you gave it to your third string running back and then just hope no one noticed. But I'm up on Jamaal Charles. I mean, Kansas City stayed in that game against Pittsburgh on Monday night. You know, they're going to have to give him a ball again. I mean, they just have to. I don't understand why they didn't, but they're just going to have to. I think he's going to have a big game against Cincinnati.
Who don't you like?
Man, talk about one of the more frustrating players in fantasy, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I mean, he gets the carries. He's not a bad running back, but he just never gets big games. And you have to rely on him getting a touchdown, which actually more often than not, he's not. And a lot of teams are still having to roll with him. I actually, in my dynasty league, I have to roll with him at my flex. It's either him or Alex Green versus Detroit. Who would you like out of those?
That's interesting. Just because of...
Yeah, you know, I mean, and it's a PPR, so that helps Alex Green a little bit, but James Starks could get 20 carries out of nowhere.
So you're telling me that you would rather have those guys than Mendenhall at your flex?
I would, however, this league is deep and Mendenhall is owned and I don't think tradable.
All right, but I'm just saying you would obviously rather have Mendenhall than either of those two guys, right?
You know, if it's a week where Mendenhall, Dwyer, and Redmond are all active, I would rather start either Alex Green or Jarvis Green Ellis over them because
I agree, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, all of them have been hurt and had stints on the I almost said on the DL. I'm in baseball mode again with that trade on the injury report. They've been out, but I mean, I just don't trust Mendenhall enough unless. Both, I would need a good matchup and both running backs to be hurt, and that's just a lot of factors to throw in.
All right, fair enough. All right, next up, your Green Bay, or not your Green Bay, the Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions. I'm going to guess you're probably up on Alex Green in this game.
Yeah, I am, and it's just because I don't think he's going to be a terrible flex play. You know, obviously, I'm debating between him and Jarvis Green Ellis. I'm still not sure I'm going to play yet, but I think they do work him in. I'm guessing right now that he gets probably 60% of the touches to Stark's 40%.
All right, fair enough. Who are you down on in this game?
Yeah, after the big three-touchdown game just disappeared, Mekhi Lashore. It seems like in any game where Detroit is down, he just doesn't have a good game. And they're playing Green Bay, who's playing a lot stronger as of late. I think Green Bay blows them out. I think Joik Bell is better suited for the passing downs and the no huddle.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's switch over to the afternoon games kicking off at 4:05. New Orleans heads out to Oakland to take on the black hole that is Oakland Stadium. Who are you up on in this game?
You know, for someone that we thought it was going to be a dual backfield, but it's Marcel Reese and Tywan Jones only got a couple touches. Marcel Reese is a starting running back for an NFL team and a great matchup. You know, last week notwithstanding with Turner not doing anything against the Saints, but I think Oakland's going to try to establish a little bit of a run. Reese is who they like more in passing downs as well. He'll get you a lot of catches. Both Darren McFadden and Mike Goodson are out. I like Reese a lot this week.
All right, who don't you like?
You know, two straight great weeks, and I love this guy. I love watching his highlights. I really like Chris Ivory, but I'm down on him just because, you know, Sproles is probably going to be coming back. Now it's a four-headed backfield. I don't see how you could trust him even after coming off two great games.
Let me ask you this. What do you think about how Mark Ingram has played the last couple of weeks?
I mean, I honestly haven't really noticed. I've put no stock in those running backs at all. I see Ivory emerge, but I mean, he could have 10 carries one game and then have two in this, and you know, this game, if, Ivory does okay. And then Sproles gets a couple carries and then Pierre Thomas, it's just a mess to me.
I don't disagree with you, but and this is one of the guys I've been stuck on for a long time is Mark Ingram. I don't think he's as bad as everyone thinks. And I think if given the opportunity, he could actually be a pretty good running back, but I guess, we'll have to wait and see.
And I'm just pulling it up now. I did not realize that he had 16 carries last week, yet still not effective fantasy scoring wise.
Well, listen, if you're getting yards per carry, anyway. Okay, let's move on from that one, because that is not one of your up or downs, and I'm distracting you.
Yeah, that I'm so angry.
All right. Hey, you know what I think actually might be one of the best games of the week? It's the 425 game, Indianapolis at New England. Who do you like?
Yeah, I completely agree. This is a game I'm really excited to watch. I'm up on Andrew Luck. Unless you have one of the top four or five quarterbacks, I think Luck is almost a must start. Everyone's throwing on New England. Luck is throwing touchdowns. He's running touchdowns. He's scoring points. I like him a lot in this game.
Beautiful. Who are you down on?
On the other side, on the same side of the ball, but other side of the offense, I'm down on Vic Ballard. Not a great game last week. New England, yeah, they gave up some big rushing plays last week to Fred Jackson, but I think they hold tough against that Indianapolis run game. I think this game becomes a tale of the quarterbacks. I think Vic Ballard gets kind of thrown to the wayside, touches wise.
Ballard is a nice running back. I kind of like him going forward. I think he might have a couple of interesting games later in the season. If he's on the waiver wire, I wouldn't mind stashing him on the bench. The only thing I worry about, he doesn't have a lot of wiggle. And I think against New England, I agree with you. I think it'll be a down game for him. But I do like him going forward. So
yeah, I agree. And if Vic Ballard was available, I'd like him more than Bajarvis Green-Ellis and Alex Green.
Wow. So, that's actually really interesting, because I wouldn't have laid it out that way, especially this week.
Well, maybe not for this particular week. It'd be really close. I'm looking ahead to week 12 where the Colts play Buffalo, and I would like Ballard a lot in that game.
All right, fair enough. Next up, it is the last afternoon game. It is San Diego heading to Denver. Who do you like in this game?
And, you know, I don't really have any good stats to back me up, but I called him as a good high upside guy late in drafts, and that's Willis McGahee. He's had a pretty good year. Yep. Not huge, but has been pretty consistent. I just have a feeling that Denver plays really strong against San Diego in this game. San Diego is just a mess. And, I mean, I know their run defense is pretty good. They faltered here and there. But I just have a feeling Denver wins big and McGahee gets a lot of work.
Didn't you call McGahee a top 10 back this year?
I think the question was who out of the do you have a chance, has the best chance to be in the top five?
You might be right.
Actually, now that you remind me of that, my pick was Willis McGahee, and then I think your pick was Peyton Hillis.
Okay. Well, you know, all right, we're done. Podcast is done.
You're the one that brought that up.
We're done. Hey, Scott, super producer, you're filling in for JP rest of the season. JP Gilpin.
Just intentionally get my name wrong.
Oh, sorry.
I can replace your N with a D for your name.
Oh, listen, my name rhymes with a lot of bad words growing up. That's nothing new, my man.
I'll just call you Nicholas then.
All right, Mom.
Is that what's on your birth certificate?
Absolutely, Nicholas.
Do they have birth certificates in Canada?
Fuck off. All right. Next up, who are you down on in San Diego at Denver?
He had a big game, and I mean, I know he's probably not getting started on any teams, but I'm down on Denario Alexander. I think it was just kind of a flukish big game. If you see the huge stat line and for some reason you've got two wide receivers on bye, do not start him and have confidence in it.
All right. Let us move on to the Sunday night game. It is the Baltimore Ravens heading to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who do you like here?
I like Torrey Smith. He's been better when I looked at his stats than I had expected. You know, if you take out those, I mean, I know you can't play revisionist history like this, but if you take out those first 2 weeks, he's actually gotten touchdowns in five of the last 7 weeks, which isn't a bad rate at all. I know Pittsburgh has a good defense. I think they're going to really try to win the line of scrimmage. Well, obviously they're going to try, but they're going to really try to limit Ray Rice. I think they're going to force Flacco to beat them with his arm. I think Smith has a good chance at a touchdown and getting a lot of targets in this game.
All right, that's interesting. Who don't you like?
You know, I don't like the Pittsburgh receivers. I really don't like Mike Wallace, but you're probably starting him. Antonio Brown was out last week. If he's active,
you don't like Mike. You don't like Mike Wallace.
I don't.
You don't like 60. You don't like 60 Minutes. It's a quality program.
That's who Christopher Plummer played in Inside. Right?
Sorry.
The experience I have with 60 Minutes was the movie The Insider.
All right, fair enough.
I'm a youngin. If Antonio Brown is active, I'd probably bench him. I'm benching Heath Miller. You know, Roethlisberger. I don't think we've talked about this yet, but Roethlisberger's got the separated shoulder.
Yep.
It's gonna limit him, or you know, it's gonna be Byron Leftwich. And who wants to have Byron Leftwich thrown to him?
Breaking news! The Miami Marlins just acquired Byron Leftwich.
They're dumping everyone to the Marlins.
I mean, Baltimore's defense has been lousy, but if Leftwich is in a quarterback, I mean that could get ugly.
What is Leftwich going to play? He's going to have to be a pinch hitter. He kind of looks like Frank Thomas, I guess.
No, are you kidding? With that windup, he'll be like a pitcher from the 1930s. It takes him like 8 minutes to actually release the football.
Yeah, he's the same size as like CC Sabathia or something.
He's the same size as me. All right, listen, last game, Chicago at San Francisco. It is the Monday nighter. Who do you like against those two great defenses?
Yeah, there's one person I like in this game at all, and that's Matt Forte. Yeah, you know, he gets it done no matter what the matchup is.
All right, listen, that's fair. So you're down on everybody else?
Down on everyone. You know, Cutler's likely out, so Brandon Marshall gets a big hit in value. I know he had a big catch from Campbell on Sunday night, but I mean, you're starting him still, but you're not happy about it. You probably have to start Frank Gore, but that's not someone you're happy to start. I think Colin Kaepernick might get massacred in this game.
Who's the third string quarterback for the 49ers?
Lord, I don't even know. Jeff Garcia?
Yeah, I was just going to say Jeff Garcia. Bring back Jeff Garcia.
Bring him back.
Actually, that'll be the trade next year. Jeff Garcia from Calgary to San Francisco for Tim Tebow. There you go.
Both of them could have an impact.
JB, get out of here.
What if I don't
tweet my? Well, we got the controls on this end here. Tweet my man JB at JB Gilpin. If you have start sit questions on Sunday, or if you just want to tease him about Carolina, you can tweet me at Nick Capozzi. If you want to talk about this big Blue Jays trade,
yeah. Well, all I can say is don't trust Nick Capozzi because he can't prove that he was born in Canada.
What are you, a birther?
Yeah, Nick Capozzi will try to prove that he's a citizen with his Hawaii birth certificate.
All right, JB, thanks so much, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Razzball Football/Baseball Podcast. Have a great week. We'll be back next week. That kick-ass Razzball Football Podcast theme song you're rocking to right now, that's by Symphony of Nine featuring Juice Jones. We'd also like to thank the staff at Glenmore Records for helping us put this together. If you need quality audio recording done in the city of Toronto, check out glenmorerecords.com.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
Baby, little muscle man.
It's the Razzball Podcast.
Make some regulars look bad.
Razzball,
baby.